is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the Photoshop World Conference in Las Vegas. I'm with Charles Altschul of the Maine Media Workshops. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Harris.
Charles, let's talk about what the Maine Media Workshops are, what you represent, but also the role of workshops in today's culture.
Sure. Maine Media Workshops came about this year. We're now a nonprofit. After 34 years, it changed from a single owner, a sole proprietorship. And we're now an umbrella company that oversees the Maine Photographic Workshops, the International Film and Video Workshops, and Rockport College, all under the umbrella of Maine Media Workshops. It's been a terrific year. Lots of changes and growth potential. We had our busiest week of the summer in mid-July with over almost 250 students on campus. The workshops is many different things. The flagship programs of the school are these one-week workshops that are completely immersive, very intensive workshops. It gives professionals and students alike an opportunity to really delve into a given subject and really live, breathe, eat, sleep that subject for the week. And it's a very different experience than you get in a traditional school or just a night class, something like that.
Now, you have a pioneering role in the whole idea of digital education, don't you?
Oh, well, it's nice of you to say. I've been involved with it from the very early days. That's true. I was teaching digital imaging at Yale before Photoshop came out, actually. The early days, I have a box full of software from that day, from Image Studio and Digital Darkroom were some of the names. It was all 8-bit black and white at that point. It's come a long way since then.
And, of course, you were associated with one of the grand names in digital imaging, short-lived, the Center for Creative Imaging in Maine, right?
That's right. Yep. I moved up to Camden, Maine to be Director of Education in 1991. It was a wonderful place for those that were lucky enough to be there, sort of referred to as the Camelot of its time. It was really ahead of its day, and Kodak was not really 100% behind it. So it only lasted a while, but it was a great experience.
I was one of the lucky ones who was able to attend the CCI before it finally shut down, and it really was an amazing place that brought together writers and artists and printmakers and photographers and scientists, and it really was a cumulative experience that really changed me and changed the way I work. And I'm wondering, is that still something that people desire to this day in this time of online education?
Absolutely. I think that the world has become so fractured. There's so many different distractions. And to be able to really get away somewhere else, to make a commitment to take a week out of your life and really concentrate on something without all of the other things going on makes a huge difference. One of the things at the workshops that's also very special is that the people that come there are all dedicated to either film or photography, and the staff and the wonderful faculty that are there, so that during the week, you're not simply learning something unto yourself, but you're sharing ideas with other people in other workshops. The common thread being that everyone's there to get better at what they do. They all have a creative streak, and they're all interested in similar things, so that you're really immersed in a way that's very rare to find.
When the Maine Photographic Workshops began over 30 years ago, digital wasn't really on the scene. It was renowned for its darkrooms and darkroom technologies and master printers, and now, of course, you've fully embraced digital. And do you still also have the darkroom?
Absolutely. One of the things that I love about the workshops is that we have a real commitment to chemical photography and, in fact, alternative processes as well. So that we feel that it's very important to understand where all of these things come from and to honor those techniques and to be able to teach people them still, because they're still beautiful and used a lot. So as many schools are doing away with their chemical darkrooms, we really embrace it. And in fact, it's one of the areas of growing interest at the school. We're expanding in other areas as well. In the day of multimedia, really there is no such thing as someone that just does photography, or let's say that that's a rare animal anymore, that you need to either address video or sound and multimedia interaction, so that all of those fields of communication are things that are relevant to what we do. And the programs that we're putting together represent that. At the same time, this sort of reverence for historical process and for the history of where these forms come from also relates to those new forms. So, for instance, while we're going to expand into areas of design with graphic design and website design workshops, we're also going to institute a program in book arts where we're going to teach letterpress printing and papermaking and intaglio printing, because these are forms that really preface the new technologies, and they're really important to understand to really address new technologies and these new areas of communication most effectively.
Since you have such a long history teaching digital technologies, do you think that a photographer is better served by having a background in traditional imaging, or do you think that this generation of photographers who have never even really worked in a darkroom and they don't know from film, do you think that they're served just as well?
Well, that's a very good question. I can't give you a specific answer for it. I think it's dependent upon the person. One of my teachers was Paul Rand, the great graphic designer, designer of the IBM logo, among many others. And we would have this discussion. I always loved letterpress printing, sort of traditional printing technologies, where all of the terminology and also the letter forms that we use today developed in response to that technology over 500 years. Letter forms really were adapted to this technology. So what we use today is very much influenced by that history. And I would argue with Paul, saying that it was a great thing for graphic design students to learn those older technologies because it would inform their design moving forward. And he couldn't have disagreed more. He said, "I never set a line of type in my life, but I'm a fine designer." And he was right. I mean, we're both right. Let's say that certainly you can. It's great to have that historic perspective. It can certainly influence the work that's done today. But whether it's really necessary or whether it's the proper way to teach, I'm not certain that that's true for everyone. I think that you look at kids growing up and what their influences are and the way they respond to things, and they're really excited about the new technologies, about interaction, about the internet, about web TV. And to say that, you know, they need to go back and mix chemicals in a dark room, I'm not sure is necessarily the best thing for everyone, but certainly for some.
Now, you talked about the importance of the communal experience in education. And certainly where we are now in Las Vegas at Photoshop World, where there's 3,500 people all mingling together, drinking together, eating together, and learning Photoshop together and learning different digital techniques together, certainly is a testament to the need for people to work together. And yet at the same time, you have folks like Lynda.com or Training or Software Cinema have very successful online training. What do you think is the difference that somebody gathers from going to a place like Maine and setting up shop for a week and learning and exposing themselves in a more one-to-one setting?
Well, again, it's a personal preference. And it's interesting, actually, in all of art that traditionally artists, specifically in certain art forms, painters, often photographers, there was an idea that as an artist you really were a solitary character, that, you know, this idea of the painter that goes up into his or her garret and sort of has lots of angst and tears their hair out in front of the blank canvas in order to come up with the masterpiece is certainly a valid way of thinking of making art. But in the modern age, with new technologies, with multimedia, it's very difficult for any one individual to create some of these new forms. You really need to be an expert in so many areas that you have to have collaborative abilities. How you teach that or how you learn that is not clear. I think there are exercises that you can do. You asked specifically about conference or the workshops where there's lots of people. I think that, you know, you can get a great deal of inspiration on your own through reading, through observing the world around you, but interacting with other people and hearing their ideas and responding to their ideas is also a very rich source of inspiration. So I think they're both valid and both important.
Let's go back to the discussion of the change in the workshops. As fundamental as going from a ownership and a for-profit to a non-profit organization with a board of directors, how will that ultimately impact? What do you see is the future for the workshops?
It's very exciting. I think that education, there are educational institutions that are run for profit. I've always been involved in education, and to me, that's a difficult bridge to cross. You know, really, education is something that benefits society. It doesn't feel right to me that an individual or a group should be benefiting from giving education. I mean, in our country, the idea of public education, actually around the world, education tends to be thought of as a something that should be given to the population. And I think, furthermore, it really reflects in the attitude of the place where, in the school itself, so that now we look at giving back to the community, not simply the community of workshops, people, the faculty, the staff, the students, but also to the local community that we operate in. Rockport, Maine is a small town, very beautiful town on the coast of Maine, and we have a large impact on that specific community. But then larger, the idea of the photographic and film communities worldwide. I mean, we really look at it as benefiting those communities by providing education at different levels, everything from high school kids that come for our youth programs up to master classes for people that are established professionals in their field. We try to advance these forms in all of those areas, and that's really the mission of the school now.
Traveling to a place like Maine can be kind of expensive for some folks. Do you have any scholarships or any ways in which people of lower economic means can attend and be part of the workshops?
There are some scholarships that we have. It's an area that we'd love to expand upon. As a nonprofit now, we will be entering into development efforts, and certainly scholarships will be part of that. It might be less expensive than you think. It's no more expensive than traveling to a lot of other places. It takes a while, that's for sure. We're off the beaten track. But at the workshops, we have a lot of housing ourselves, so that it's not terribly expensive to live there and to get there. And then we have a meal plan so that in the community, everyone lives and eats there at the school. And there's a lot of economies of scale for that.
Switching to the academic side, you have a couple of different programs, right?
Yes. Rockport College is part of the workshops. That's our academic long-term programs. Currently, we offer two programs. One is a professional certificate program for photographers, for filmmakers, and for multimedia artists. And that consists of two 15-week semesters, starting in the fall and another one in the spring. And again, they're very intensive, round-the-clock programs, and students graduate with a thorough understanding and commitment to these different fields. The other program that we currently run is a low-residency MFA program, where you get a master's degree in either photography, filmmaking, and soon to be multimedia. We have two retreats per year, and students the rest of the year are studying under a mentorship in their hometown. So it allows people to acquire this degree without making the commitment to actually live on the campus for that amount of time.
Charles, where can our listeners find out more information about the Maine Media Workshops?
We have an extensive website at theworkshops.com. We're in the process of adding more to it and redesigning it, as I guess everyone does. But there's lots of information there. We're adding video interviews with our different faculty members, and there's galleries available and lots else.
I want to thank Charles Altschul for spending time with us today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you again, Charles.
Thanks so much, Harris. It's been great spending time with you, too.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Ford. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.macedition.com. The contents are copyright 2008 and may not be used without written permission.